Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Hello, language facilitators. I'm back with another live Q&A session here on YouTube and Facebook and the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast. My name, for those of you who don't know me, is Marcy Melzer. I'm an intuitive speech-language pathologist and language facilitation coach and consultant on my platform, wavesofcommunication.com. And today, I'm going to be talking about a topic that answers a question for families. It's this one here. We're going to be talking about uncovering the messages behind nonverbal communication that is obviously nonverbal, but it might be really vocal. It could be screaming. It could be yelling. It could be any kind of nonverbal communication that you are not looking for. Like, obviously, you're here as a facilitator wanting to facilitate speech, real spoken language, and you might not be seeing that. Language facilitation is a messy process. And as children are making the shift from their behavior into spoken language, the process, the intuitive process, requires you to understand what I've got on my shirt on today, which is all behavior is a form of communication. And so that's what we're going to be working with now. I've got a question. I was inspired to talk today about this because I got a question from Haley, who is one of the moms in my language facilitation community, my Waves of Communication community. Shout out to Haley. Haley's in Sydney, Australia, and she had this question. I'm just going to kind of start with the end and then move into the steps to get there. So, this is the question here. You'll see his new little nonverbal cue is ear piercing. It's a scream that is so high pitched that it makes your ears ring. He does it when he's angry or upset, and this has been the hardest thing. So that's why today we're going to be talking about, I've got a little process here for you to uncover the messages behind all of the nonverbal communication. Just like you see here with these emojis, there are messages behind every bit of it. And this is the process that's going to help you shift that behavior into the form of communication that everybody can understand, which is speech. So it starts with this situation. Lay talkers will choose and use communication behaviors that trigger a fast response. That means that they're trying, the trial and error happens 24/7 in the life of a late talking child. They do things, they make noises, they watch other kids and imitate them, they imitate you, they make up their own new things. All of this is happening every single day. And when a communication hits, when it really starts to work, right, they will choose and use that behavior to trigger a fast response in you. So the key here to motivating change in communication behavior is your response to the messages behind the actions and sounds that you are perceiving, the whatever you're seeing, whatever you are in your environment. And that's really the trick for all language facilitation. This is, again, why parents and caregivers are in the best position to make this shift of this big behavior because you are here seeing it repeatedly every day. You notice the patterns behind these behaviors, and that's what helps you move through this little three-step process I have. So let's talk about step one in the process, which is this, where it's interpretation, where you are responsible for figuring out, interpreting, what is the lay talker actually trying to say with their scream, with their meltdown, when they throw things, when they hit you, when they run out of the room. Remember, all behaviors communication. So what is the lay talker trying to say? And here's a little four-step tip. Number one here, observe the situation from the child's perspective. You have to see the situation from their perspective. If you come in judging that behavior from your perspective, you obviously don't want to get hit. You don't want to listen to screeching. You don't want to hear those things. But if you come in to the situation from that perspective, it's never going to work. You're just going to keep repeating the cycle. Because remember, the whole intention behind this behavior is to trigger a response from you. And so the response that you give is the key here. And in order to give the right response, the response that's going to trigger this behavior to actually change, to motivate it to come out differently next time, is to start from where the child is. It's the number one most important thing about language facilitation in general, but especially if you are targeting a behavior that you want to change, which is what we're talking about right here. So let's talk about what else you have to do. You have to take note of the objects and actions that they're interacting with and showing you. And this is how you use your current or week or so that they keep doing over and over again, or that's escalating a little bit more every time. Because when these behaviors escalate, that means that you're not responding. And so they keep having to escalate the behavior to trigger the response. Remember, this is intentional communication. Even if it looks like a random, he threw himself on the floor, or he's screeching, or it seems to come out of nowhere, this is how you figure out that it didn't come out of nowhere. It came out of your child's experience. Okay, let's take a look. So once you take note of the objects and actions that are that they're interacting with and showing you through their behavior, then you describe the situation objectively from the outside. Their situation you describe from your outside perspective, and then as you see it and as you're talking about it and describing it, it's important that you talk about the child's feelings and how they were triggered by the current situation. Because remember, the whole reason this late talker is using this behavior is because they don't have words. If they knew how to tell you what's going on, how they're feeling, what their idea is, why they were triggered, if they had language for all of that, they would tell you. And I'm going to show you how this looks for both a talker and a late talker in the video clip that Haley shared when she was talking about this situation. So let's take a look at step number two as we move in. But before I do that, I just want to remind you that this is Q&A. And I don't know if I have my graphic here, but if you have a question about this or a comment about this situation, certainly post it here on this video, even if you're watching on the replay, okay? All right, let's get into number two. The step one is interpretation, but moving over to step two is where you're going to offer guidance to change. This is the facilitation, because we can't really do any facilitation unless we understand, but now you're going to offer guidance to change. You're not going to judge. This is how we do it. Here, first, you have to help the child regulate by attending to their triggered emotions and frustrating situation. Remember, they triggered you to respond. That's that's the first thing you have to do. Once you figure out what's going on and you interpret the situation, which happens in nanoseconds, once you get better at that interpretation stage, you'll be able to do it more frequently. But until then, you have to practice this situation. So once you interpret it, then you move into this facilitation of change. So you have to help them regulate by attending to the triggered emotions and frustrating situation, and then talk about the feelings that have been triggered. They're telling you, I want you to know that I feel this way. Talk about that. You got it. You see their feelings. You understand them. Talk about what you perceive. And then tell the story of how the nonverbal communication was created and why the late talker needed to use it. Because this is what they need from you. This is the facilitation part where you're like, oh, now I get it. You're upset, or you are too excited, or you want your sister to play with you and she doesn't want to play, right? This is literally what has triggered Charlie to start screeching with his family. His sister, who is, you know, just another little kid, doesn't always want to respond to every whim that he has, doesn't always want to be, but she's his primary playmate at home, and she has good ideas, and he wants her to interact with him. And so when she refuses or resists his demands to interact, she's gonna share how she feels, and so is he, except for she has spoken language, but he doesn't have that spoken language. So that's what happens. You have to tell the story about how this situation happened and what's going on just around the situations, and then you can share your feelings and talk about how you were triggered by the situation, and also the other people were triggered by the situation, only after you relate and talk about the child's perspective. So then, because it's important that you do share your feelings about the situation, otherwise the child will continue to think that this behavior is okay and acceptable. Unless you let them know that you want something different, then that's how you're going to realize that there is something different that's going to happen for this child, okay? So then what happens here is you move into step three, to be consistent, where you're paying attention to all communication, all of the communication that you perceive, not just from the late talker, but from all of the people who are involved in the situation. And so, like we said, this new little nonverbal cue is ear piercing, and it has really triggered Haley because she doesn't like it. It's a scream that's so high pitched it makes your ears ring, and he does it when he's angry, upset. And this has been the hardest thing, and that's because Haley doesn't want to see her son upset, and she doesn't want to get the reaction. She doesn't want to get that response to "you're upset," because literally what late talker Charlie in this case is doing is trying on purpose to make his mom upset, to join him in his upsetness, in his space, in his feelings, in his reality. He wants someone to join him. In fact, that's what he's trying to do with his sister. She's not joining him. He wants his mom to join him. If she doesn't join him either, he's just gonna keep doing this behavior until he learns some replacement. So what you're gonna see in this little clip that I'm gonna show you is this situation. So let's start by watching the clip, and you can see what happens, and then we'll talk about what goes on. Here we go. Uh-oh, where's the sound? Oh no, hang on a second. Let's make sure we've got sound for the video, because it won't help if we don't have sound. Oh no. Oh no. I just downloaded this. All right, so we're gonna see a lot of nonverbal communication here, but what Haley's saying is, Charlie, you are screaming. And what he wants is, he wants his sister to go and scream. Look at her nonverbal communication right here. Look at Josie. Josie says, you know, he says, come, let's run. Come run and play with me. And she, look at her right here. She says, literally, she's saying the words, I don't want to play. And Charlie's like, come on, let's play. He's non-verbally telling her. He was screaming until finally they all got up to go play because he didn't trigger. He triggered them to all get up and play. And Haley is encouraging. He's like, she's like, come on, Charlie wants you to play. She's interpreting just fine. She's interpreted that he wants to play, but she is missed. She's missed Haley or Josie's situation here where she literally says, I don't want to play. And then what happens is she starts to negotiate with Josie about what maybe Josie, you can play with him a little bit. But look what she's doing here. She's not even listening to mom. She's reached down to pluck a flower to hand it to mom to distract her from making her play with the brother because she wants to connect with mom too. And Charlie over here is using some nonverbal communication. He's saying, aga, ago, aya. He's using a lot of language attempts to say things, both nonverbally and verbally. He's saying little words to try to get her to come. And because she's not responding, he's literally reminding her with his body that she has to come and play with him. I want you to come and play with me. So the tip here about this situation is that, first of all, consistency in these situations, not just consistency of response, but consistency of that investigation. Remember, the idea here with number one is to figure out what is the late talker trying to say, but not just in the moment, come here, help me. Why are they trying to say this thing? And how are they trying to say this thing? How did they learn? How did they develop the current language that they are using now? Whatever it is, the nonverbal communication, the word approximations, the nonverbal communication, meaning dragging you places, pushing you places. And then if the speech isn't responded to, even just in Josie's case, her actual speech, I don't want to play, isn't responded to. It's, you know, she's like, oh, I know you want this, but maybe you can try this. Or I know you want to try to, I know you don't want to, but maybe if you just make me happy and do this. And she doesn't want to hear it from mom. So she's picking flowers and trying to distract. These subtle little communications, even if it's flat out, I don't want to in spoken language, it could be avoiding by distracting you and doing something else, or even being cute and nice so that you don't make me do something that I don't want to do. She literally had hands on hips saying, I don't want to do this. And so this is why language facilitation is a never-ending job. If you're in an opportunity, in a situation where this kind of nonverbal communication that you don't like keeps coming up, then it almost behooves you to recreate those situations so that you can put on your language facilitator hat and dig in to why and how these situations get triggered in the first place, and why and how you are responding to the late talker, and what you're offering them instead. What is the story that you are telling about the situation that is going to be changed in the future? What's the new story that you want? How are you highlighting this issue of you want to say something and you're using communication that people don't want or people don't want to hear? And how are you as a facilitator potentially shutting down any of the communication that you don't want to respond to right now, just like this late talking child didn't want to respond to her mom, so she found a distracting behavior? How could you be, remember, this is a mirror situation. How could you as a facilitator be mirroring or projecting accepting this avoidance, this shutdown, this putting your message on top of someone else, because this is what a late talker is doing as they elevate the scream, as it gets to ear-piercing decibels and the physical movement comes into whacking and hitting and throwing on the floor or elevated anything. That's how you know that this process is breaking down, that you're not paying attention. Maybe you're too tired. Maybe you're too unfocused. I don't know why it's happening, but it's breaking down if you're frustrated. And so that's what I wanted to share with you today about this whole process for interpreting the message behind the late talker. Because as we say on the t-shirt, all behavior is a form of communication. So I don't see any questions coming in. Let's see. No comments. Hopefully this was interesting to all of you. I want to remind you about the resources available on the platform really quick before I share with you my plans. So really quick, we've got the workbook here, the 11-week language facilitation journey to week speech workbook, and the If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun. Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy. That book is available on Audible. It's available on Kindle. It's available on paperback. It's available worldwide. All of these books now are available worldwide. Even the workbook has been translated into other languages, because I'm going to be traveling again. The plans are coming into place. Here's a little teaser. I'm working on a new workshop opportunity that is designed to be taken out into the world. And the first places I'm going to be going are South Central India to Hyderabad and Bivaram and small towns that are in that area that don't have a lot of access to speech pathology. And there, if there are therapies that are moving in, there's a lot of ABA and the same old evidence-based kinds of things. These rural communities, kind of like where Haley lives in Australia, these places are the most fun for me to connect and meet with people, because they're not so sold on the next best thing. You know, language facilitation takes you back to basics, to how moms and grandmas have been teaching children how to talk forever. And so I'm very excited to go to South Central India at the beginning of April, and then I'm jet setting over to Morocco on the same trip at the end of April. I'm going to be over in Rabat, Morocco, to be sharing this language facilitation workshop with parents there. Now, don't fret if you don't live in Asia or in Morocco, because I am going to be putting this online to offer to parents and caregivers all around the world. And I know that you'll be interested, because it's going to be a very intensive workshop with me to guide you through the process, to make sure that that workbook doesn't stay stuck in the drawer, that you're going to be able to get it out every day while you're in a rapid growth cycle, and use your itinerary to enjoy and relax through the process so that you can facilitate better improvement in speech every single day. And this is how parents see rapid progress. I know that guidance is necessary for many families, and that's why I'm putting these workshops together. I know reaching people on the internet is not the easiest way, and that's why I'm going out into the world, because it is my mission to equip and empower parents worldwide. No matter what language you speak, I'm going to find people who can help me translate into Tamil Nadu and Urdu and Moroccan and Arabic and all these languages around the world, because I'm connecting with professionals, with doctors, with business people who are interested in developing the concept of natural spoken language facilitation, because they see it as a viable, real alternative to speech therapy and ABA and verbal behavior and PECs and all those other things that parents are being offered and they're choosing to give up because they just aren't working for your kids. If your child's not responding to the therapy, this is your time to make the shift and facilitate better improvement because that's what it's all about. That's what Waves of Communication is all about. So stay tuned, everybody. Next week, I'll be back with more live Q&A and answering your questions. So post them in the comments of this video. And I know that a lot of you just watch these videos to hear me talk about your situations and connect with me. And I'm so pleased to be back doing them for you. So I will see you next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern for the next live Q&A, Language Facilitation Podcast, and Waves of Communication YouTube channel. With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation journey to speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.